tu sahanau bhunaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 32. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Once upon a time, however, the king of heaven, Indra, understood that Vishrupa was secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons. He became extremely afraid of being defeated by the demons, and in great anger at Vishwaroop, he cut Vishwaroop's three heads from his shoulders.
So, all the go.
Thereafter, okay. So, that's the thing. He's afraid of being defeated by the demons.
Yes.
Like that. So, it wasn't so much as often, he's just thinking they'll become strong, and so, because they're getting the oblations, they're getting strong, so the demons will get strong, they'll come and attack. Thereafter, the head meant for drinking somaras was transformed into a Kapinjala, Franklin partridge. Similarly, the head meant for drinking wine was transformed into a Kalavinka, sparrow. And the head meant for eating food became a titiri, common partridge. Although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize his sinful reactions for killing a Brahmin, he repentantly accepted the burden of these reactions with folded hands. He suffered for 1 year, and then to purify himself, he distributed the reactions for his sinful killing among the earth, water, trees, and women. So he suffered it for 1 year on his own.
This is a general thing that you may be able to counteract the reactions, but you accept.
Yeah. You know, they're powerful enough, but they can see, you know, either, you know, the advantage in Krishna consciousness or, you know, the impropriety in their behavior.
Mm.
Like Narad Muni's done nothing wrong,
no.
But he can see it can be an advantage for preaching.
Yeah.
But for Indra, then, you know, he sees that there's something wrong. Right? So therefore he accepts. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Indra began to repent, thinking, I am an abominable person. I have committed a great sin, having killed him suddenly in anger and fear. I do not know where I will fall in hell. I should take the result now. He accepted the killing, thinking, let him burn me by his powers. This was because, yet, he was a devotee appointed by the Lord to his post. Such a person should repent for his misdeeds. The intensity of the reaction lessened after a year of repentance, while he remained with a bad reputation. So the reaction lessened.
Yeah.
Then it was divided before. So
he should record whatever he thinks and play it once in a while, Indra, because it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. Well, one is you get many a times that these are different Indras.
Oh, okay.
Because there's 14 in one day of Brahma.
But it's still Vishwaroop, so it seems like.
No, Vishwaroop is one.
But
you know,
I'm
so Bhrigu and Vishwaroop, that's all one thing.
But I'm saying that he offended Brihaspati, he was lamenting.
Yes.
And then Vishwaroop, and it's the same Vishwaroop.
Yes, and so, yes, so he
same
should.
Indra from Indra.
No, not necessarily that. I think it would be a different Indra.
Really?
The next time this pastime would happen.
Oh.
Yeah, because the point is in a day of Brahma, it's changing 14 times, so. You know, one's with the eyes, one's with killing Vishwaroop, one's, you know, like this. You know, one's with Govardhan Leela, you know, like this. So. So that's why it just gives the generic Indra. But otherwise, each one of them actually has a name. So you can tell the difference between which Indra.
Little impersonal.
Huh?
Little impersonal, but there's so many of them.
Yeah, like I think our one now is Pundarik.
Okay.
So, Puranjana.
Puranjana.
Purandara. Purandara. That's his name. Like that. While he remained with a bad reputation, so the reputation remained, though the sin reactions had gone down. After that, to purify the earth, water, air, and fire elements in his body, which had become impure by the sinful reaction, he divided the sin into four parts. Oh, okay, so it's purifying earth, water, air, and fire. So then they correspond with these. He divided the sin into four parts. Since ether cannot become impure, he purified only four elements, and thus divided his sins into only four parts. Because of this, sin in his antakarana remained in a subtle form. That seed fructified in the form of killing a brahmana again with the killing of Vritrasura. Right. So he's offended Brihaspati, now he kills him. So the antakarana, you know, the subtle body, he purified the gross body because it remained in the subtle body, therefore it happens again. You know, just like Daksha, yes, because it was still there in the heart, therefore it's not. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, in return for King Indra's benediction that ditches in the earth would be filled automatically, the land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmin. Because of those sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of the earth. Right? So that's something that earth wants, so then earth gets. No, they want to get rid of ditches. You dig a ditch, and then with time it fills in and becomes level again. That's the benediction the earth got. Yeah. Right? That ditches in the earth would be filled automatically. So that's the benediction. So they're accepting the sinful reaction, but they're getting a benediction, right? So because of that, then it will end up as deserts. So this purifies the earth element, right? Srila Prabhupada comments, because deserts are manifestations of the earth's diseased condition, no auspicious ritualistic ceremony can be performed in a desert. Persons destined to live in deserts are understood to be sharing the reactions for the sin of Brahmahatya, the killing of the Brahmin. So that's why you see some parts are green and some parts aren't. And it's the same land. It's funny, when you fly over the desert region, you'll see it's just desert, and then there'll be one part that's just green, and then the rest is that. Yeah. So the people are happy with the desert part, then they're sharing in that reaction. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, in return for Indra's benediction, for their branches and twigs would grow back when trimmed, the trees accepted 1/4 of reactions for killing a Brahmin. Right? Because like palm trees and that, they won't grow back. It means twigs and branches, they'll grow another one, but it won't grow back there. But like trees, you cut them off, they'll grow back. But palm trees, you cut them off, then they don't grow. Because they grow from the top branch. I mean the top leaf. You remove that leaf, then that's finished.
Does that mean the soul is up there?
No, it's down in the
middle.
Otherwise, then, when the kid grows and he has big feet, does that mean the soul is in the soul?
You think sometimes, but the way you...
Okay. Okay. These reactions are visible in the flowing of sap from trees. Therefore, one is forbidden to drink this sap. In return for Lord Indra's benediction that they would be able to enjoy lusty desires continuously, even during pregnancy, for as long as sex is not injurious to the embryo, women accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions. As a result of those reactions, women manifest the signs of menstruation every month. And in return for King Indra's benediction that water would increase the volume of other substances with which it was mixed, water accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions. Right? Because you can take anything, you take juice or anything, you put water in it, and then it just increases the volume. Right? And it seems that it's the same. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. when one collects water, these should be avoided. 8 to 10, right? So then yes, so then exactly what? So earth would be the earth purifying the earth element, the water element. Then wood contains fire, so you think that that would be purifying the fire element. And then air, because that's touch. So then that would be what the women got, was the part for air. Because you definitely don't think of trees and air. Right? No? Okay.
Ronald Reagan once said that trees pollute more than cars.
Trees pollute more than
air more than cars.
Trees pollute air more than cars.
A little bit of flack for that one.
So producing oxygen is polluting the atmosphere.
I think that was his point, yes.
Okay. Why not? You sure that was Reagan?
That was how I was.
Not Bush.
No, yeah, exactly. You would think, right?
It's a toss-up. It's
yeah,
a toss-up.
No, but this one was actually supposed to be Reagan.
Oh, okay.
Huh? Does he know about the trees?
What does Reagan know about the trees? Yeah, no, but...
He was from
Reagan?
Me?
Reagan?
Was from...
He was an actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's right, right. Yeah, that's right. He was an actor.
Yeah,
it seems to be actors and the governor of California seem to go together, right?
Yeah.
Verses 11 to 20. Tvashtha produces Vritrasura. In verses 11 to 20, Tvashtha, who was seeking to avenge his son's death, performed a sacrifice with the intent to summon a powerful demon who would be inimical towards Indra and kill him. Due to a subtle error in chanting the mantra for creating this monster, Tvashtha inadvertently invoked a fearful personality known as Vritrasura that Indra would be inimical towards. When Vritrasura emerged from the sacrificial fire, his size and power increased relentlessly. And as the demigods attempted to dispatch the would-be assassin, Vritrasura devoured all the devatas' divine weaponry. Lunch. Sri Sukadeva Goswami's continued. After Vishwarup was killed, his father, Tvashtha, performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, "O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay." 11, Srila Prabhupada comments. There was some defect in Tvashtha's chanting the mantra because he chanted it long instead of short, and therefore the meaning changed. Tvashtha intended to chant the word Indra Shatro, meaning O enemy of Indra. In this mantra, the word Indra is in the possessive case, Shashti, and the word Indra Shatro is called a Tat Purusha compound, Tat Purusha Samas. Unfortunately, instead of chanting the mantra short, Tvashtha chanted it long, and its meaning changed from the enemy of Indra to Indra, who is an enemy. Consequently, instead of an enemy of Indra's, there emerged the body of Vritrasura, whom Indra was the enemy. It's also sometimes, depending on where it would be situated in the sentence. If it's at the end, then many times you can chant them long, even though they're short. But that's just for Parayana. But if you're using it as an actual mantra for that, if you did that, that would also be a problem. Does that make sense? Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thereafter, from the southern side of the sacrificial fire known as Anvaharya, came a fearful personality who looked like the destroyer of the entire creation at the end of the millennium. Like arrows released in the four directions, the demon's body grew day after day. Tall and blackish, he appeared like a burnt hill, and was as lustrous as a bright array of clouds in the evening. The hair on the demon's body and his beard and mustache were the color of melted copper, and his eyes were piercing like the midday sun. He appeared unconquerable, as if holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. Dancing and shouting with a loud voice, he made the entire surface of the earth tremble as if from an earthquake. as he yawned again and again, he seemed to be trying to swallow the whole sky within his mouth, which was as deep as a cave. He seemed to be licking up all the stars in the sky with his tongue and eating the entire universe with his sharp, long, sharp teeth. Seeing this gigantic demon, everyone in great fear ran here and there in all directions. That very fearful demon, who was actually the son of Tvashta, covered all the planetary systems by dint of austerity. Therefore, he was named Vritta, or one who covers everything. Srila Prabhupada comments. In the Vedas, it is said, Sa imal lokan avrino tad vritrasya vritratvam. Because the demon covered all the planetary systems, his name was Vritrasura. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. The demons headed by demigods headed by Indra charged the demon with their soldiers, striking him with their own transcendental bows and arrows and other weapons, but Vritrasura swallowed all their weapons. Struck with wonder and disappointment upon seeing the strength of the demon, the demigods lost their own strength. Therefore, they all met together to try to please the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, by worshipping him. 19:20. Verses 21 to 27. The devatas worship the Supreme Lord for protection. In verses 21 to 27, when the demigods understood their dire and helpless situation, they turned to the Supreme Lord to request his assistance. The demigods said, "The three worlds are created by the five elements, namely ether, air, fire, water, and earth, which are controlled by various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma. Being very much afraid that the time factor will end our existence, we offer presentations under time by performing our work as time dictates." The time, you know, because that's why you do things according to time. You know, morning, these are the duties, noon, these are duties, evening, these are duties, you know, depending upon, you know, the days of the week or the months, the different titis. So we perform our work according to time. So in that way, we're respecting time. And then his idea is that everything will go a little smoother, right? The time factor himself, however, is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us now worship that Supreme Lord who alone can give us full protection. 21. Srila Prabhupada comments. When one is afraid of being killed, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is worshipped by all the demigods, beginning from Brahma, although they are in charge of the various elements of this material world. The word bibheti yasmat indicate that all the demons, regardless of how great and powerful, fear the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons, being afraid of death, took shelter of the Lord and offered him these. Oh, the demigods, being afraid of death, took shelter of the Lord and offered him these prayers. Although the time factor is fearful to everyone, fear personified is afraid of the Supreme Lord, who is therefore known as Abhaya, fearless. Taking shelter of the Supreme Lord brings actual fearlessness, and therefore the demigods decided to take shelter of the Lord. So real fearlessness then means we understand we're not the body, we're the soul, so we take shelter of the Lord. Right? Otherwise, someone may be very confident and therefore fearless. But this means real fearlessness. Right? Not something that's coming from the modes of nature.
So it's not depending on circumstances.
No, it's not depending on circumstances. Yes.
Some yogis, for example, if they attain high level of yoga, mm-hmm. will they become fearless to some extent,
but real fearlessness means taking shelter of the Lord. Yes. Means it's just like any quality. Someone is rich, but real richness means that devotion to the Lord, or, you know, real austerity means the devotion to the Lord, or real compassion means connecting people to the Lord.
So it's still, you say that it's a borrowed quality.
Yes, but when it's done by surrender to the Lord, then that's real. Then we'll say that like Prahlad Maharaj, he's actually fearless. That's not a borrowed quality. Yes, like that. The demigods continued, free from all material conceptions of existence, and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by his own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations, and therefore he is steady and unattached. Right. So what creates the unsteadiness and attachment is these material designations. So the more we identify them, the more unstable we'll be. Right? So in devotional service, when we say fixed in devotional service, that means we've reduced our attachments and identity, material identity, down to a level where our devotional service then remains stable. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only shelter of everyone. And anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the ocean, cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. Footnote 5. Yeah, so I said, but does it matter which dog? Okay, Chihuahua, we understand. Yeah. You know, but Great Dane, maybe? No?
I don't know. German Shepherd? Compromise?
Okay. In his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 106, paragraph 117, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to this verse when he writes, "One should not disrespect other deities, but rather should honor them because of their relationship with the Supreme Lord. Worship of the demigods as if they were independent of the Supreme Lord is eloquently and vehemently rejected in these words." Additionally, Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti, executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantaki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book. Right? So we're respecting them because of their connection to the Lord, but we don't worship them as separate from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we respect them, but we don't have to do any worship. Right, so that therefore in our sadhana there's no worship of the demigods, right? Because they're already included in the Supreme Lord. But if we bump into it, then we're respectful. Srila right. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "The intelligent person should not surrender to anyone else other than the Supreme Lord. A really foolish person approaches someone else for shelter. Devatas, karma yoga, or jnana yoga. The wise person does not do so. It is just like a person desiring to cross the ocean by holding a dog's tail. The dog cannot cross the ocean, and what to speak of the man holding his tail? The dog, seeing the man holding his tail, will throw him off in the water, and the dog also will drown. However, it is not astonishing that the person who takes shelter of the Lord crosses the ocean of samsara. Thus, the Lord is described as avishmitam, without surprises. Though it is astonishing that, without the Lord, some try to cross the ocean of samsara. It is not astonishing to cross by taking shelter of the Lord, since that ocean immediately becomes like the water in a calf's hoofprint. The Lord is always competent, complete in his desires, along with samam, the attainment of sarupa, of seven types of sweetness." Footnote 6. Perhaps this refers to his beauty, fragrance, sound of his voice, youthfulness, tastiness, liberality, audarya, and mercy mentioned in Maturya Kadambini. Footnote by His Holiness Bhanuswami. So he has all these nice, as you see, these are all very personal. It's not just his opulences. Because the other way it makes sense, the six, then it'll mean his opulences. But here it mentions seven. So then he's saying that these seven are mentioned as Krishna's qualities. So then he's making a connection here. He bestows enjoyment through his Haladini Shakti. The Lord is gentle, prasantam, or tolerant of his devotees, though they commit seva aparad, since he is affectionate to them. Because the Lord's affectionate, that's why then he tolerates. Right? Otherwise, turning us into a little pile of ashes is not actually a big deal. Right? Yeah. Oh, that's there. And it wouldn't even take him 7 days. Right? So he could do it in one moment. Right? So the point is because of his affection. That's why everything goes on. That's what the material world's meant for. is the Lord expressing his affection to the living entity, giving them an opportunity to enact their desires, but in such a way that eventually they all come back to him. The demigods continued. The Manu named King Shaivavrata formerly saved himself by tying the small boat of the entire world to the horn of the Matsya Avatar, the fish incarnation. By the grace of the Matsya Avatar, Manu saved himself from the great danger of the flood. May that same fish incarnation save us from the fear, the great and fearful danger caused by the son of Tvashta. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though we are very low, having material desires, and approach the Lord out of fear of the demon, he should protect us just as he gave protection previously. This is expressed in two verses. Just as Matsya saved the earth, he will save us from the demon. Though he moves about in the water and is situated there, he can protect us who are on the land because he is the Lord. Because Matsya was in the water, but he protected Satyavrata, though he was on the land. The demigods continued. In the beginning of creation, a tremendous wind caused fierce waves of inundating water. The great waves made such a horrible sound that Lord Brahma almost fell from his seat on the lotus into the water of devastation. But he was saved with the help of the Lord. Thus, we also expect the Lord to protect us from this dangerous condition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created us by his external potency, and by whose mercy we expand the creation of the universe, is always situated before us as the Supersoul. But we cannot see his form. We are unable to see him because all of us think that we are separate and independent gods. So when one doesn't identify oneself as a servant of the Lord, then that independence will create that one can't actually see the Lord.
Is that why they say created us by external potency?
Yes, because they are a manifestation of that. The potency comes from, ultimately, the internal. But, you know, their bodies, their positions, the subtle bodies, their duties are all created by the external. Yes, but they're seeing a connection to the Lord, therefore things will work out.
It's the Lord that created them.
Yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, though the Lord is present everywhere and also here, he is not visible to our material senses. But by his mercy, may he become visible and protect us. This is expressed in three verses. We do not see the form of the Lord who performed pastimes. Samihata Pura, in the forms of Rama or Krishna before we existed. The reason is that we think we are the Lord's. Srila Prabhupada adds, here is an explanation of why the conditioned soul cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Even though the Lord appears before us as Lord Krishna or Lord Ramachandra and lives in human society as a leader or king, the conditioned soul cannot understand him. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam. Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Rascals, mudas, deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking him an ordinary human being. However insignificant we are, we think that we are also God, that we can create a universe or that we can create another God. This is why we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Lingam eva prasyama kadachit abhimanas tu. Devanam api sanniva praya kaleshu nasyeva taratamyena so pitu. We are all conditioned to various degrees, but we think that we are God. This is why we cannot understand who God is or see him face to face. So as long as we think we're the controller and enjoyer, we can't see Krishna. As we start to give that up, we can start to see Krishna. So when the devotee surrenders, that they have faith, and they take up the process, that's when their ability to start to see Krishna begins. so they can appreciate Krishna in, you know, his name, his form, his qualities, pastimes. But depending upon how, to that degree they're able to see. The demigods continued. By his inconceivable internal potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into various transcendental bodies, as Vamanadeva, the incarnation of strength among the demigods, Parasaram, the incarnation amongst saints, Nrsimha and Varaha, incarnations amongst animals. And Matsya and Kurma, incarnations among aquatics. He accepts various transcendental bodies among all types of living entities. And among human beings, he especially appears as Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. By his causeless mercy, he protects the demigods, who are always harassed by the demons. He is the supreme worshipable deity of all living entities. He is the supreme cause, represented as the male and female creative energies. So we're not just making that stuff up. Although different from this universe, he exists in his universal form, Virat Rupa. In our fearful condition, let us take shelter of him, for we are sure that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Soul, will give us his protection. Right, so the supreme cause, so then you have the masculine and feminine energy. So there'll be the supreme cause, which will be the masculine, then there'll be the cause, which will be the feminine. Right? Or the, what do you call it? The efficient cause and the... probably always uses these terms. Efficient cause and... Yeah, one means is that...
Huh?
No, I'm not sure. No, it doesn't. It's something very specific, which means Krishna is the origin of it, and then the actual implementation of it and getting the results.
So the original cause and the efficient cause?
Maybe. I think you had that used, but I think there's some other term also.
Okay.
But that's the basic principle. Because the efficient means is getting it done, or mm-hmm. sometimes he's the efficient, and then there's the other, that he's the one that's actually doing, and the other one is just an instrument. So it just depends where you... But the principle will always be the same. There'll be the original, and then there'll be the cause and the effect. Like that. Srila Prabhupada comments. In this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is ascertained to be the original cause of creation. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary... Bhavarta Deepika replies to the plea that Prakriti and Purusha are the causes of the cosmic manifestation. As stated herein, Param Pradhanam Purusham Vishvam Anyam. He is the supreme cause, represented as the male and female creative energies. Although different from this universe, he exists in his universal form, Virat Rup. Right? Because, see, he's entered into everything, makes everything work. But at the same time, that's not him.
Yes.
It's his energy, but it's not him. Yes. Right? Just like the man gets into the car and drives the car, because he's in the car works. But he's not the car. But it's only working because of his applying his energies on the car.
Mm.
Right? And the car belongs to him also. Right? So Krishna is then pervading everything, making everything work. But at the same time, it's not him. Does that make sense to you? So when we're working with all these things he pervades, if we think that's him, then we've made a mistake. Or we don't think he's involved, that's a mistake. You understand? Because it's him, but not as a person. Right? It's him by his, you know, how you say, his social position of being the Supreme Lord. Right? So then that's the way you say everything's his. Right? So he's non-different from his energies. But at the same time, he is a person is different because he would be doing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they do things in the spiritual world, that's how it would go. But here people do it differently. Because they work with him, but don't know it's him. Or they work with him, but don't accept him in his full feature, only localized.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when people
say, or when we read in the Vedas that one aspect of Krishna is a Paramatma, no? It's in every single living entity. How can we understand that? Because most of the people say that God is in everywhere.
Yeah, God is in everything.
But at the same time, the person of God is not there.
That's why it says localized. Because if you have Paramatma there on his own, what is his capacity there? What is he doing? Means he's like peeling carrots, or, I mean, what's he doing? Making pierogies, boiling pasta. What's he doing? Yeah, so what office is that? Yes, so he's the witness, he's the judge, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer. So in other words, he's just doing God stuff. But God's a person, he has his associates. So when we say Paramatma, where is his associates? So that's why it's localized. We don't say Bhagavan, because Bhagavan means him and his associates. So when the associates are there, then you're dealing with Bhagavan. If it's him alone, you're dealing with Paramatma. Does that make sense? So the demigods are dealing with him as Paramatma, because he's the supreme, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, he's the witness, he's the authority, he's, you know, like this. So that's what we're meaning. As a person, then there's more beyond just his control. Because we think if I have control and I have facility, then everything's perfect. Like that. Because we take it as a goal. For him, that's just existence. He is the supreme controller and enjoyer. So for him, that's not something he has to prove. You know what I'm saying? Let's say someone's born in a poor family. Then they become wealthy. Right? So generally, it's not uncommon that they won't be always at every opportunity that they could show that they're wealthy, they would. You know, and they would be ignoring kind of their past, right? So there's always that social consideration. But let's say someone's born in a very wealthy family that's been wealthy for generations. They don't even think about it. It's just for them normal. You understand? So if Krishna, because he is the Supreme Lord, then being God is normal for him. That's just who he is. So for him, taking care of all that, that's just office stuff. But then being with the devotees, interacting with the devotees, now that's what he personally likes to do. So that's what we're meaning, is on the Bhagavan platform, it's not there. So he is everything, but it's him on the Brahman and Paramatma platform. But how he interacts with the devotees, that's Bhagavan. Does that make sense? The word Prakriti, which is used to indicate the source of generation, refers to the material energy of the Supreme Lord. And the word Purusha refers to the living entities, who are superior energy of the Lord. Both the Prakriti and Purusha ultimately enter the Supreme Lord, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Prakritim yanti mamikam. Although Prakriti and Purusha superficially appear to be the causes of the material manifestation, both are emanations of different energies of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the cause of Prakriti and Purusha. He is the original cause. Right, so they're causes, but he's the original. Verses 28 to 55. The Lord receives praise from the Devatas and instructs them to approach Dadichi. In verses 28 to 55, when Lord Narayana appeared before the Devatas with his associates, the demigods glorified him and, while showing a semblance of regret for their material motivations, they expressed their unequivocal dependence on him and requested him to remove their material distress. Although the Lord hoped that the devatas would request pure devotional service instead of some petty material comfort, since their approach was submissive and sincere, he agreed to help them. Like, means when there's trouble, like when there's trouble, then we see that's an opportunity we will tend to surrender to the Lord, right? And so when this trouble happens, the demigods also are surrendering to the Lord. But in surrendering, they're only asking for material benefit. They're acknowledging his position, but still they're only asking for material benefit instead of asking for pure devotion. So he's hoping they'll ask for pure devotion, but they don't. Just like Daksha, he didn't.
It's the story of the lady who has all the wood for the fire.
Yes,
put it back.
Yeah. So that's the problem. You could just ask for pure devotion and get out. So this happens many, many times with the demigods. We mentioned it also happened another time when the demons also became powerful. And so then they came to Vishnu, and he said that the cure is worse than the disease. So if anybody would like to come back to me now, you come. You know, just step forward, you can come to me. But then everybody, I said something. I think I left the oven on. You know, it's like that. Oh, I got dry cleaning to pick up. You know, and only I got the ticket. You know, stuff like that. So then he said, okay. And then you had the original Buddha and the original Jina. And so then all this atheism is introduced. So, what to do? They like to stay. Yes, what to do? Lord Narayana advised the demigods to send the Ashwini Kumaras to approach the Saint Dadichi, whose body had been surcharged with the Narayana Kavacha. Since the Ashwini Kumaras were very dear to Dadichi, they should request him to voluntarily leave his body so that Vishwakarma can construct a divine thunderbolt from his bones on behalf of the devatas. This weapon, being empowered by the Supreme Lord, could easily vanquish Vritrasura and thus restore the prowess and weapons of the demigods. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, when all the demigods offered him their prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, carrying his weapons, the conch, disc, and club, appeared first within their hearts and then before them. Surrounding and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, were 16 personal attendants, decorated with ornaments and appearing exactly like him, but without the mark of Srivatsa and the Kustuba jewel. O King, when all the demigods saw the Supreme Lord in that posture, smiling with eyes like the petals of lotuses grown in autumn, they were overwhelmed with happiness and immediately fell down like rods, offering dandavats. Then they slowly rose and pleased the Lord by offering him prayers." 28-30. The demigods said, "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are competent to give the results of sacrifice, and you are also the time factor that destroys all such results in due course. You are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons. O Lord, who possesses many varieties of names, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations, promotion to the heavenly planets, birth as human being, and condemnation to hell. Yet your supreme abode is Vaikuntha Dham. Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisances." 31-32, Srila Prabhupada comments. "An inexperienced man generally does not know what to beg from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the jurisdiction of the created material world, and no one knows what benediction to ask when praying to the Supreme Lord. People generally pray to be promoted to the heavenly planets because they have no information of Vaikuntha Loka." Right, so it's because they don't know about the transcendental, people approach the Lord about something material. But, you know, better quality than what they have, because he is God, right? The demigods continue, so that's inexperienced man. Right? Experienced or wise, then they'll ask for devotion. The demigods continue. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Narayana. O Vasudev, original person. O most exalted person, supreme experience, welfare personified. O supreme benediction, supremely merciful and changeless. O support of the cosmic manifestation, sole proprietor of all planetary systems, master of everything and the husband of the goddess of fortune. Your lordship is realized by the topmost sannyasis, who wander about the world to preach Krishna consciousness, fully absorbed in samadhi through bhakti yoga. Because their minds are concentrated upon you, they can receive the conception of your personality in their fully purified hearts. When the darkness in their hearts is completely eradicated and you are revealed to them, the transcendental bliss they enjoy is the transcendental form of your lordship. Right? So the happiness they get is the happiness of his form. He is, you know, the form of Ananda. So then being absorbed in the Lord, then they taste Ananda. No one but such persons can realize you. Therefore, we simply offer you our respectful obeisances. But they're saying we can't realize. We know you exist. But Footnote 7. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns this verse to Bhagavat Arkamrichimala, Chapter 4, entitled The Factual Truth of Krishna, Bhagavat Surupa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakura's book. Right? So this explains Krishna's position. Right? How the Lord of the energy, how he's the supreme. Like that. So that'll be part of that. Does that make sense? Because there's Krishna's position as the supreme, Krishna is the origin of all energies, and Krishna is as rasa. Those are the three sections that deal with Krishna directly. So this is about how his supreme position. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. The Devadas have already said that the Lord is invoked by many names in verses 31. Now they praise him by addressing him with these many names. O Lord, complete in six great qualities, Bhagavan. They then describe his completeness. O Narayana, by your expansions, acting as the Antayami of the total Prakriti of each universe and the Jivas, you are Karana Dakshai, Garbha Dakshai, and Kiru Dakshai. Right? The completeness, Antayami of the total Prakriti of each universe and the Jivas. So the total Prakriti is Mahavishnu or Karana Dakshai. Each universe, Garbha Dakshai, and the Jivas, Kiru Dakshai. But you are more complete than that as Vasudeva, the source of the expansions, because they all come from Vasudeva. It means in the mechanics of it, they're all expanding from Sankarshan, but that's in service to Vasudeva. That's the point. Vasudeva just has to do his pastimes. All the backup, that's all done by Sankarshan. So it's not that it's expanding all from Sankarshan. It's expanding from Vasudeva. But technically, Sankarshan in service to Vasudeva is expanding everything. Right? And once everything's been expanded, then Vasudeva appears. Right? Because all the qualities that are there in the other three then are the basis on which then he acts. Because how do you act in a situation unless there's something common with you in the situation? Right? Does that make sense? So all the qualities of the other three, then those are all manifest in his pastimes. But they do all the backup for those qualities. Right? Does that make sense? The knowledge and strength, the virya and aishvarya, and the shakti and the Shakti and Tejas. So these six, then these are by how he performs his pastimes. Right? In other words, these connect. There was one verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura, Baladeva. One of the acharyas then they mentioned showing of these Kalyanagunas how they connect to the six, you know, we said, you know, opulences. Mm-hmm. Like that. So they always go in pairs of two, right? So that way there's three, because he's the Lord of three.
Uh-huh. They would say that the three Purushas, they exhibit less qualities
Less?
Like Mahavishnu. The
no, no, not less qualities. It's just that they specialize.
So they become less specialization because they're
yes, it means specific. It means otherwise. Why, if each one of them is doing, because the Lord can do everything. So he, you know, but it's just for his pastimes, and he expands. You know, he could do the whole thing, but that's why then there's these flavors. Then you appreciate the flavor of each one.
So the paramount in everyone's heart is this, you know,
it's Kiridaksha.
Yeah, but it's the smallest one. It's not the smallest.
No, no, that's Aniruddha. That's the Aniruddha manifestation. In each universe, that's the Prajumna manifestation. In the total material energy, that's the Sankarsha.
And that's
going to
be the source of them all?
Yes. Because why is the material world manifest? Just because it's Wednesday afternoon and nothing to do? Or you understand? Because, no, but, yes, because of our desire, but what's Krishna's desire?
Get us back?
Yes, so therefore it's by the desire of Vasudev, therefore the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis are active. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Yes. Yeah. But you are more complete than that as Vasudeva, the source of the expansions, right? They're complete, but he's manifesting all the qualities that they do all at once. Right? They do these specific qualities just to... They have all the qualities, but they manifest specific ones just to get particular pastimes done. But Vasudeva manifests all of them, and that way then the pastimes he performs are the most complete. So Vasudeva, all your Leela avatars, that would be Vasudeva. But you are more complete than that as the Lord of Vaikuntha, or original person, Adi Purusha. How is that form understood? Because he's not a Purusha avatar in Vaikuntha. He's just the Supreme Lord there. Right? So, Vasudeva. So you have Mahanarayan, and then you have all the expansions from there. You have many great splendors suitable for your devotees, Mahapurusha, Mahanubhava. But what happens to my devotees' abode in my form at the time of devastation? Material things may be auspicious, but spiritual things are most auspicious. You have the most auspicious spiritual eternal devotees in abode. You have devotees who are the most proper, since they are not controlled by time. Parama Kalyana. Having external perception and being devoured by time, let us take shelter of mercy of you, who are an ocean of powers and sweetness. O merciful Lord, you are realized as bliss itself by those who see internally rather than externally. Right. So if you see externally, then we're only going to see bliss in how that external thing is actually giving us some bliss. Right.
Come again.
That didn't make sense?
Well, I just didn't catch it. If we think the thing will give us bliss.
Oh, I get it. There's a little button there.
If we think the phone gives us bliss, then people all shake it about. It's like banging the TV.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the thing turns and does weird things. That took maybe a voice message there, so hopefully it doesn't send it. Well, that did it all on its own because it's a smartphone. It's so smart it does its own stuff.
So smart you don't have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it means they weren't satisfied with, you know, how you say, one big computer taking over a spaceship. You know, now everybody has their own little one that can take over, right?
The super soul.
Yes. Okay. All right. Material things may be auspicious, but... most merciful Lord, you are realized as bliss itself by those who see internally rather than externally. So if you see that it's the Lord that's in it, that is actually the cause of happiness, you see actual bliss. If you think the thing itself is giving me happiness, then you don't actually experience bliss.
It's a reflection, maybe.
Yeah, it means there's some happiness that you get because I'm identifying if that particular thing comes into my... you know, field of activity in a particular way, I'll be happy. So when it does, then I consider myself happy. Doesn't mean that you necessarily are. You know, like the guys get off the boat, you know, on a piece of dirt they've never seen before, you know, stick a Spanish flag in it and say, this is ours. Yes. Even though there's, you know, millions of people living there already and have been there for a long time. That because he landed there and he put his, you know, divine sooty foot on it, then, you know, it's somehow another his.
You know? A British comedian who made a sketch about, do you have a flag? When the British conquered all these, so wherever they went, they didn't have a flag, and so that's the rules they just made up. You don't have a flag, it's not yours, so they plant the flag now.
Oh, I see. Whoever has the flag.
Do you have a flag? Well, there you go.
Okay, here's the flag. But we do have a double barrel shotgun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Convincing.
The guy comes up, great, I've been looking for one of those. He takes the flag and goes, wraps up his, you know.
Blows his nose.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? So the point is why we suffer in the world is because we think the thing is the cause of happiness or distress.
Yes. Yes.
But when you see is that it's Krishna, then you're on the transcendental platform. That's the difference.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. When will this happen? You exist as an experience of bliss in Vaikuntha, Atma Loke, without covering, Apavrite, in the temple of the heart, whose door of deceptive ignorance has been unlocked by Bhakti Yoga. Paramahamsya Dharmena. Clearly manifested and completely established. Paribhavita, by intense concentration through Yama and Niyama, Atma Yoga, you appear along with Vaikuntha when the heart has such qualities. Right, so the whole point of seeing the Lord means developing these qualities. How do we develop these qualities? We, follow the directive of Krishna that comes through the spiritual master and take it seriously, then that happens. Right? It's not some other arrangement. This is that, because otherwise we think it's another arrangement. It's just more of this same illusion. Right?
Bhakti with bhakti.
Yes. If there's no rules in bhakti, why would there be any rules anywhere else? So it's just there. It's just, oh yes, it's just, you know, bhav. But then when it comes to organizing the society, then we have very, very strict rules. But no, it's that there's either rules or there's no rules.
Yeah.
Like that.
In between?
Well, in between is the, yes, is the how you say, the glorious position of mental speculation in which you whimsically decide what you want for today, you know, and you get, you know, you discuss it with your friends, they all agree, And, you know, having said here, here, then, you know, it naturally becomes universal law. You know, just like if you place a flag in a place where there isn't a flag, then automatically it's yours.
That's how you make up rules.
So technically then you could go into, oh, I see. So that's why, like, you know, like where the president is in his office, there is a flag.
There's
there.
Always flags.
So no one else could come in there and bring their flag and say, this is mine. Yeah, no, we already got a flag.
Got,
sorry,
already,
sorry.
Yeah.
Flag is there. Yeah, they go and claim the bathroom, right? You know? Do you have a visa? Says, no. Says, I'm sorry. You can't come into
yeah.
Gate pass. Gate pass, yeah, yeah. That would definitely bring the government to its knees, right?
Yes, I think so. You fill out Form 2018.
Yes. I'm sorry. You have to use a black pen.
Copies of passport and visa.
I don't care how many times you came here before. Okay. The demigods continued, O Lord, you need no support, and although you have no material body, you do not need cooperation from us. Since you are the cause of the cosmic manifestation, you supply its material ingredients without being transformed. Right? He supplies without being transformed. We supply, we transform.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You give, you know, you take money, you give it, you have less money.
Yes.
Right? He provides potency and he remains the same.
Even expand.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, he is expanding. But the point is, he doesn't transform. Or if he works with something, he doesn't become like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, we'll be in one place, we go to do something else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, we transform. Krishna doesn't transform. That's the point. So what happens, we become attached to, that's what causes the transformation. But he being unattached, he doesn't transform. You create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation by yourself. Nevertheless, although you appear engaged in material activity, you are transcendental to all material qualities. It only appears because we create what's material activity. Right, activity is there. That's an original principle. But we take it and use it for ourselves. That's why it becomes material. Right? Yes. If it's done for the Supreme Lord, then it's not material. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Consequently, these transcendental activities of yours are extremely difficult to understand. Because the same thing is both transcendental and material. Right? The same thing will send you to hell, the same thing will elevate you to the heavenly planets, the same thing will get you to Vaikuntha, the same thing will get you back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. That's why it becomes confusing. Because we're always thinking the thing itself is the actual identity. Right?
Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, although you are beyond the gunas, Atmarama, enjoying eternally in Vaikuntha, you also play in the material realm by carrying out creation and destruction, by methods difficult for us to understand. That you engage in playing seems to be, Eva, difficult to understand. It is easy to understand for intelligent devotees, but difficult for others to understand. Difficult to understand for others. Why? You have no shelter and have no bodily actions. But Shruti said, right, because we have to have shelter of something and then we have activities that go with that. Right? Because we have an identity. That, but he's beyond. He has no shelter. He's the source of activity.
Right? So on the side of rasa, the devotees is the shelter. Is that so?
In that way, there's shelter of rasa, but the point is that this shelter means it's based on him.
Yes.
So it's still dependent upon him. He's still independent. Right? But Shruti says that the Creator has a form with 1,000 heads. You give no regard to assistance offered by us, the presiding deities of the hand and other sense organs. Though you are the material cause of the universe, Atmana, you are without transformation. Right? So he has arms and legs, but he uses them without having, depending on the demigods, right? We move our arms and legs, the demigods are in control of that. He moves his arms and legs, and he's not. He's actually the source of their power to control arms and legs. If one accepts Vivartavad, then it is not astonishing that you are without transformation, since the transformations are illusory. But it is astonishing if one does not accept Vivartavad. Gajendra says, Namo Namaste Kila Karanaya Nishkaranaya Bhuta Karanaya. My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you have no cause. Therefore, you are the astonishing cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.15. Right? This means that although you are astonishing to us as the cause, because you are without transformation, though you are the material cause. Right? He's the material cause, though he doesn't transform to do that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the thing, he's without cause. That's the point. He's on the platform of Brahman. There's no transformation. But the transformation is his energies, but he's still the basis of his energies. Right? Does that make sense? So yeah. The energies transform. So some will say, means that since he doesn't transform, if there's any transformation that we see, that's illusion. But our point is yes, he doesn't transform. What you see is the transformation of his energy. Right? Means like here, these bricks. These bricks were at one point just some dirt sitting somewhere. And somehow or another ended up in a truck and ended up down at the place where they, you know, in a big pile, and then it's a bunch of, how you say, ladies and kids, and, you know, make it muddy and stuff it into a little, how you say, wooden mold and put it on the ground. And then after it dries some time, people put it on their head, carry it, put it somewhere, then they bake it, and then they get loaded in your truck, and then they come over here. So you see so many transformations, but that's the energy is transforming. He's not transforming, he remains the same. Yeah? So. Therefore, you are the astonishing cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.15. This means that you are astonishing as the cause because you are without transformation, though you are the material cause. Though you are without gunas, you create the universe with gunas. A potter with gunas taking support of a place, using his body and taking assistance, creates a pot with gunas by transformation of clay and other materials. But it is difficult to understand how you, without gunas, without support, without assistance, without a material body, create the universe. Because the potter is creating something within the material creation because he's supported by that and he's creating within this. But Krishna is beyond. He has no support of the material energy. He is his own support, but he's still creating everything. That's why it becomes hard to understand. That's why he says, oh, that doesn't make sense. That's not scientific. Oh, that's because it's beyond, you know, science. That's the thing. He's the origin of science. Srila Prabhupada adds. Yes. Basically, but it's not just someone else. It's about it's connection with Krishna. Because even we're helping someone else, why are we helping someone else? Right? I mean, it's culture, character, this, that, so many different things. But ultimately, it's the idea is that I'm going to get some gain from helping others, either directly from the relationship or indirectly by people who say, I'm a nice guy. Right? Or I'll just feel good myself that I've done something. So that's my own profit. Point is it's still going to happen within that. Does that make sense? So Krishna is beyond that. That's the thing. So he's the actual friend, because there's nothing to gain for him, right? Because we're already part of him. So it's not that when we become Krishna conscious, then he becomes complete. He's still the same, because he's unchanging. We transform from spiritual consciousness to material consciousness back to spiritual consciousness. Right? Say, spiritual consciousness to material consciousness, then to devotional consciousness. Probably that would be a better way. So,
Srila Prabhupada adds, Vrindavanam parityajyam padam ekam nagacchati. Krishna never goes even a step from Vrindavan. Nevertheless, although Krishna is situated in his own abode, Goloka Vrindavan, he is simultaneously all-pervading and is therefore present everywhere. This is very difficult for a conditioned soul to understand, but devotees can understand how Krishna, without undergoing any changes, can simultaneously be in his abode and be all-pervasive. It's just, that's just him, right? So if we approach him to serve, these things become revealed, right? Not that these are important, it just, you know, makes the, you know, everything makes sense. It's just, we're just seeing the reality of what things are. The real gain is the relationship with Krishna. That's the actual gain. Not that we can see Krishna everywhere, that we actually have a relationship with Krishna. You know, so we deal with him in proper affection and that. That's the real gain. Other things aren't the real gain, because they'll come and go and this and that. Yeah.
The demigods continued. These are our inquiries. The ordinary conditioned soul is subject to the material laws, and he thus receives the fruits of his action. Does your lordship, like an ordinary human being, exist within this material world in a body produced by the material modes? Do you enjoy or suffer the good or bad results of actions under the influence of time, past work, and so forth? Or, on the contrary, are you present here only as a neutral witness, who is self-sufficient, free from all material desires, and always full of spiritual potency? We certainly cannot understand your actual position. Srila Prabhupada comments. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he descends to this material world for two purposes, namely paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, Bhagavad Gita 4:8, to relieve the devotees and kill the demons or non-devotees. These two kinds of action are the same for the absolute truth. When the Lord comes to punish the demons, he bestows his favor upon them, and similarly, when he delivers his devotees and gives them relief, he also bestows his favor.
Right, so whatever he's doing, he's all auspicious, so everything becomes a benefit like that, because then, you know, there's progress.
Thus the Lord bestows his favor equally upon the conditioned souls. When a conditioned soul gives relief to others, he acts piously, and when he gives trouble to others, he acts impiously. But the Lord is neither pious nor impious. He is always full in a spiritual potency, by which he shows equal mercy to the punishable and protectable.
Right. So when we're doing something in a way that doesn't disturb others, that's pious. So when we're doing such a way that it disturbs, that's impious. Now, this disturb and not disturb is based on the scriptures, of course. Because otherwise, someone could say, oh, what you're doing bothers me. Like that. But it has to be, well, what does scripture say? What is my duties? Then I'm supposed to carry them out in such a way that I don't disturb others. But that I'm doing a particular duty and that disturbs someone, that what can you do? Yudhishthir is doing his duty as emperor, it disturbs Duryodhana. There's nothing you can do about it.
But there's even also that, like a doctor, it may be disturbing to the patient what he's doing, but it's still for the benefit of the
yes.
patient. Not that we're just getting in the way because of it, but actually, it's not based on their whim or what they feel
yes.
like.
Yes, that's the whole point.
It's bringing them closer to Krishna.
That's why it has to be based on Shabda. That's why I earlier made that point. Without Shabda, it doesn't have any meaning. Because otherwise, we will create our own.
Yes.
Point is that either you follow Sadharma or we'll create our own. It's not that, oh no, we're free and we're not this body and that. No, it just means I'm not this body, so I'll create whatever rules I want. Because you'll find those who say, I'm not this body, we don't have to follow all this Vedic rules, they have very strict rules by which they judge and govern devotional service. And it's not, it may or may not coincide with what the Shastras recommend.
When they say we're not this body and so on, they usually combine it with some kind of what others should and shouldn't be doing. So
Yes. So they will always create. The point is you either follow religion or you'll make up religion. There's not an alternative.
Some people follow health and create.
Yeah, but they just, yeah, but that's the point, is that we're just making that there's these two extremes and then anything in between.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah, so like that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandīva.